Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And my name is Matt Noble.
And this week we're going to be doing one of our favourite things to do on the podcast. Every now and again, we bust it out. It's a speed review. Matt, what are we going to be reviewing quickly this week?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We enjoyed the first season. We're back for season two. What we're going to be doing is, and yeah, full disclaimer, we're going to do a speed review because The Bachelorette starts in 27 minutes, and that pretty much takes precedence over everything. Okay. We're down to the final six guys. Look, this is not a Bachelorette podcast. I'm just saying it needs to be watched.
It's high stakes. Yeah. Okay, so there's 13 episodes. We're going to spend no more than 1 minute talking about each episode. We've done this for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I've never heard any complaints. So, as good. I've got a timer on me. What sound do we want when a minute runs out? Like, is there a Kimmy Schmidt type chimes? Is that? No, I don't like that one. What about a twinkle? I like that. That's sort of Kimmy Schmidt-ish, isn't it? Like, very cheery and happy.
I bet Kimmy Schmidt likes stars.
Yeah, she would.
Stars.
She likes a lot of things.
Muffins.
Okay.
Fluoro shoelaces. These are the kind of things that Kimmy enjoys.
Yeah.
Okay.
People have compared one of my sisters to Kimmy Schmidt. She is like a real-life Kimmy Schmidt.
I'd say 8 times out of 10, that's a compliment.
Yeah, no, I think people mean it as a compliment. They would get Samara on our next season 3 Kimmy Schmidt podcast to get her talking about Kimmy Schmidt. Anyway, she's away at the moment. So, are we ready to talk about the first episode?
All right, we're going to be doing 13 episodes. Here we go. Episode 1, Kimmy goes roller skating.
Go.
Okay, so in this episode we learn that Titus has an ex. He was about to get married, and then he just ditched the wife. So that's a bit of a. I'm not a fan of that, Matt. I mean, would you ever ditch someone, leave someone at the altar? Like, what sort of situation do you have to be in for that to
be
acceptable?
I guess if you learned something about them that isn't like, you know, that changes your mind, I'd probably still rock up and say, "Hey, we need to have a chat," though. I wouldn't just leave them at the altar, like. So I'm not a big fan of leaving someone at the altar that you said you'd marry.
Look, I saw that you just posted on Facebook that the most overrated TV show of all time is The West Wing. So this isn't going to work for me.
Yeah. So not a big fan of leaving people at the altar. Minute's about to run out, and that's all we've talked about.
Kimmy wants to be with Dong, even though he's married. We'll get back to that. Lillian begins dating Robert Durst. I'm glad that's in the episode description. I didn't even know that Fred Armisen was playing Robert Durst until I read this. I guess I need to watch The Jinx.
Oh, yeah, I just finished watching The Jinx. Oh, my gosh. That is such an amazing show.
Oh, man. I definitely got to watch The Jinx.
Like, if you like Making a Murderer and Serial Season 1, get into The Jinx.
All right, well, there you go. We've learnt something from the show.
I'm going to lend one of my other friends the DVD of it, Jonathan, but you can borrow it after that if you want.
Meet me in Vanuatu with The Jinx.
Okay.
Episode 2.
We're halfway into episode 2. Kimmy goes on a play tape.
Kimmy. I don't think they can chew into the next episode. I think we just go over time and then start a new minute. All right.
Okay. Good. Pause.
Episode 2, Kimmy Ooh, goes...
I just got Snapchat this week, and a friend just added me on Snapchat.
This is why we have overtime, because Snapchat is eating all of Kimmy Goes on a Playdate.
It's a friend I went out for burgers with last week. It was a really fun burger outing.
Well... I'm sure.
Okay, so that's now episode 3. Okay, let's take a deep breath. We're getting distracted with The Jinx and Snapchat ads.
All right, two things I remember from this episode. Kimmy goes on a play date. One, she starts babysitting for Jacqueline, and that's funny because Kimmy basically is a child. So to see her interacting, you know, what does she do? Like, takes the kids to, like, play in the sewer or something, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's something pretty like funny. And Titus, he meets Mikey. He's this construction worker that's come out as gay, and he's, like, the most manly sports and beer kind of guy, and Titus is the most over-the-top theatrical kind of guy, and so they make a kind of hilarious pairing.
It's sort of like you and me.
We'll let the listeners decide who's Titus and who's Mikey.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to say who's who. It just goes without saying who's who. So they go to play date. Is that, are we done with that episode?
Sure.
Kimmy goes to a play, episode 3.
This was pretty great. I believe it is where Titus lives through all of his past lives, and you think it's going to be a total disaster, but the, and especially when I think like an Asian representation in media group comes and say to declare that this is a racist play, but then he turns everyone by the end, has them all crying, and I thought that was a pretty great episode for Titus.
Yeah, I really like that one. I thought that was a good episode. Are we done with this episode?
One other kind of funny thing, Lillian fighting the gentrification of the neighborhood. I just think it kind of is funny like how obsessed she is with the graffiti and grunginess of it. And she just hates hipsters and these yuppies that are coming in and like zhuzhing up the place. And her sort of fight against that is pretty entertaining.
Okay. Episode 4, Kimmy kidnaps Gretchen.
Okay, so Gretchen, what is the cult that she's going to join another cult? She's the person that still sort of believes in the Reverend and what he was saying about the apocalypse, but now she's going to join another cult, and Kimmy feels like it's her responsibility to protect her.
And it sort of makes sense because that sort of makes sense to me because if you're like, if you're someone who all you've known is being in a cult for most of your adult life, it'd be a very safe thing to want to fall back into. Like, I thought of a parallel that could get us into some trouble. And I'd probably speak a bit out of school. But it wasn't like when, like, slavery was gotten rid of in America, there were some slaves who didn't really know how to not be slaves.
That's possible.
Okay, let's Eddie, if that was offensive, I'm very sorry.
Matt's slavery analogy, Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Let's go to Kimmy gives up.
I'm going to steal some time from this episode just to mention one of my favorite lines of the season from Kimmy Kidnaps Gretchen. Titus goes on a date with Mikey, and they're talking about, you know, being, like, he's learning how to be gay, and he's learning about, like, bears and cubs and all these nicknames for things. And I think he ends up being called, like, a warthog or something. And he's like, well, why can't I be a warthog? Like, let's be Timon and Pumbaa. From The Lion King. And I can't remember how he phrased it, but I just thought it was super sweet, the Lion King analogy. Really made me fall in love with Mikey as a character.
We love our 90s Disney references, yeah. In sitcoms. They, nothing beats the Iago reference in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But let's start Kimmy Gives Up again. We only had 10 seconds left of it and we hadn't mentioned it at all. Kimmy Gives Up. Kimmy gets distracted from her GED, preventing Dong from getting deported. Jacqueline medicates her hyperactive son, Buckley. Titus decides to teach Lillian some forgotten show tunes. I'll be honest, I just read that from Wikipedia.
Our 1 minute reviews have proven. It's 1 minute has proven to be quite the time constraint, which just devolved into reading the Wikipedia description.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I watched the first half of the season like a month ago. I can't really remember the first half of the season particularly well.
Probably the most memorable thing from this episode was the pills that Jacqueline was putting on her drug, making a bit of a statement about over-medicating kids there.
I think what's, like, interesting to touch on, if we had time, would be the Kimmy and Dong relationship. That will come up in another episode. So, next episode, episode 6, Kimmy drives a car.
So this episode, so, it was kind of funny, it was Kimmy becomes an Uber driver, and I believe she meets Tina Fey, who is this a kind of hilarious character who is a therapist, but she has this alter ego who's totally drunk and sloppy in the evenings, but then is a very uptight, stuffy therapist during the day, and they develop a quite entertaining relationship.
Interesting. I believe she meets Tina Fey in episode 9. Meets a drunk lady. This was actually the episode where Titus rents his apartment to a couple of hipsters from Austin, and I think starts to gentrify the area, which might be what you're referring to of Lily getting upset about the gentrification of the area.
Yeah, that tied into that very well. And having been to Austin, I did find the portrayal of the Austin hipsters pretty entertaining.
Mm. Let's go to episode 7. Kimmy walks into a bar.
Let me see. So,
there's a lot of parties this episode. Parties getting thrown because Jacqueline wants to fit in with all the socialites and going to the right parties and things like that.
Yes. And Kimmy meets this army veteran, and I think he thinks that she's a veteran because she talks about, you know, like, getting back into society, and she was, like, you know, out for the whatever amount of years in the bunker. And even though it's sort of a case of mistaken identity to a degree, they do sort of both, you know, have similar situations, and they kind of have, you know, sort of a post-traumatic kind of response to being in the bunker and being a veteran.
I think that's a good description, and our time's about to run out. It's good, didn't have many opinions on that episode anyway. Okay, this episode I do have opinions on. Kimmy goes to a hotel, and this is where Kimmy and Dong try to consummate their relationship, keeps on going awry, going wrong. It ends up with Dong getting arrested, and they end up sleeping together in the police car. I think this might be a good episode, as good as episode, to talk about, Jonathan. What did you think about the Kimmy-Dong relationship this season? On one hand, he's married to someone else for a green card, but they seem to love each other. Like, how would you navigate a situation like this?
So I really like Dong as a character. I think he's really sweet, and I think they're really funny together, Dong and Kimmy. You know, his ability to stay in the country is at stake, but he's with this crazy old lady. You're not really rooting for them. You just want Kimmy and Dong to make it work. So I was glad that they decided to go for it, and I thought the scene scenes in the hotel were pretty funny.
We had the bell just then, but I would like to just ask, is it fair game if you like someone in a green card relationship to go for it?
It's hard if the other person that you're married to in the green card relationship doesn't view it that way. Whereas if they're just doing you a favor, but like, look, we'll get married, but it's just for the papers, you know, I don't have feelings. In that case, I think it's okay. But if the other person does have feelings, then it's a bit iffy.
I agree. You've got to be honest with the other person and get them on board. I think if they're on board, it's fair game. But if you're hiding it from them, on one hand, I think that's a bit unethical because you're sort of then just using that person you're married to. And secondly, I think there's also an issue where if they find out that you've been sleeping with someone else, they can then cause trouble for you with the legal. So I think pragmatically it's the best way to go, but also ethically it's the right thing to do. Good, we figured it out. Good job, guys. In like 2 minutes, we were able to figure out this complicated situation, which maybe some of our listeners are actually going through in their real lives. Okay, Kimmy, episode 9, Kimmy meets a drunk lady, series co-creator Tina Fey, who played a different character last season.
Yes, she was a lawyer in the case for the mole women against the Reverend. I've already described what she does and is. I only pre-jumped the gun by 3 episodes, so
yep.
There you go. Look, Tina Fey must have been a great role. Had such a great impact on the season. I thought she was there for at least half of it. Turns out she was only there for 5 episodes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, she plays sort of 2 characters here. She plays the drunk version. She plays Andrea, and Andrea, the sort of, like, straight-laced therapist, which is, I think, I think the more we see this character, the more, like, the better the performance is, too, that she sort of, the more you understand this character and the more of a relationship you have with Kimmy, the more fun it is, too. So really good job, Tina Fey. You've done it again. Kimmy goes to her happy place. What's her happy place again?
This was a bit of a weird one where she dreams about something happy, and it's just like a cartoon fairy tale type thing, but then sort of being forced to confront her issues means her happy place gets ruined. Which I wasn't really sure I liked. It ends up gets really violent, and I'm like, no, that's our favorite thing about Kimmy, that she's relentlessly happy, and you've ruined her happy place. Now, I'm sure she'll continue to be happy and be Kimmy throughout the rest of the seasons, but the fact that, you know, how she was able to stay happy all the time kind of got ruined. I don't know. It seemed a little bit silly.
I didn't like it either. This is probably, like, the Tina Fey, like, the weakest part of the Tina Fey storyline, in my opinion, too. She's great. We'll see. Tina Fey, the issue is she can win the Emmy this year for this role as the therapist. Last year she was nominated. I saw Tina Fey at the Emmys last year, and I said to her, hey, Tina Fey, can we grab a photo? Congratulations on the show. She said, yeah, of course. She goes, although you guys at Gold Derby said I was going to win this year, and I didn't. So, this year I think I'm saying she's going to win, but for hosting SNL with Amy Poehler, I think is what I'm predicting her to win this year. Anyway.
One quick thing about that episode that I really enjoyed was Titus goes to Mikey's family, it's like a family dinner, whatever that's for, and he's expecting the drama. Like, he wants Mikey to come out and be a big thing, and then it ends up not being a big thing, and it ended up, like, not being about Titus. Like, it should have been about Mikey, but Titus wanted it to be about Titus. But then it sort of, Titus comes back around, because there ends up being sort of like a racial conflict. So his big song and dance about coming together between, like, straight and gay people, he just modifies it a bit between, like, coming together between white and black people, and it's kind of an entertaining and sort of, like, touching moment.
Great. Episode 11, Kimmy meets a celebrity. This is where she goes on the Dr. Dave show, or the Dr. whatever show it is, hosted by Jeff Goldblum. And I thought Jeff Goldblum was great here.
I love Jeff Goldblum. He's hilarious in Portlandia, and he was hilarious in this too, which makes me really happy that I once saw him on a plane. Great celebrity sighting there. So, you got this great look at sort of that kind of, you know, a parody of a Dr. Phil or a Maury or one of those kind of, like, shows. And then you also have, you know, Kimmy sort of stepping up and being a good friend for Cindy.
Yeah. And Tina Fey's got the SNL sensibility, which sometimes I think is a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. Like, I'm not saying this is an overall good thing, but it would give me, like, they go over the top with the Doctor show. Like, it's not, like, trying to be a realistic parody or, like, grand realism, but it's just, like, they go as crazy as they want to.
Yeah.
And I love all the plugs he does for all the stuff. The one where he turns and goes, Delta. What was the Delta, like, tag?
I can't remember.
It's very funny. I watched the show. So, episode 12, Kimmy sees a sunset.
So Kimmy decides to stop Andrea from drinking. Because her thinking is, if she can avoid one night of drinking, means she can avoid all nights of drinking. So she handcuffs herself to Andrea, makes her just stay outside all night. But unfortunately that didn't work, because Andrea had some sort of straw thing, kind of like camelback type.
Camelback.
Yeah, full of vodka or something. So,
Kimmy's theory's wrong, though, because, like, she's never been an alcoholic before, obviously, because an alcoholic, there's been one night of drinking, most of them probably drink at another point, right? Like, it's quite a hard habit to kick, alcoholism.
Yes. I don't know. Whoa. That was loud.
What's the bell?
Did you put your phone on your podcast machine?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Kimmy finds her mum, the final episode of the season.
Yeah, so we've been talking about, more so in the show, had been mentioning Kimmy's mum for about a season, and we hadn't get to meet her. And it turns out she's a coaster head, goes around these theme parks trying to break roller coasters break the world record for most amount of roller coasters ridden or something like that. And, I know that was kind of entertaining. It was kind of a bit surreal. My favorite thing about that episode was people stopping to take pictures of Kimmy at Universal Studios. It's because of the way she's dressed. She looks like a cartoon character. And it's like, take a photo with whoever's that. And it's like, what? I'm Kimmy. And he's like, all right, kids, stand next to the Kimmy. Look, there's Kimmy. Get a photo with her.
Yeah. And I like how she's, like, upset by it, but she also smiles whenever the photo's getting taken.
Yeah.
Also some pretty, she confronted her mum on a roller coaster, which is a pretty interesting scene. Mum played by Lisa Kudrow, another classic guest star that I think gave a fairly good performance.
Yeah, we got some big moments for everyone in this episode. She finally confronts her mum. Titus gets a role on a cruise ship, but then gets distracted and ends up making a detour to Titusville, Florida. And Jacqueline who has always fallen in love for money, has fallen in love for love with David Cross.
Oh, yeah!
Who is this successful lawyer. But unfortunately, his family owns the Washington Redskins, and Jacqueline is Native American, so they make a stand together about that, and that was sort of a good kind of wrap up to their relationship for the season, I thought.
Mm. So we've finished talking about the season. Do you want to quickly give your verdict and any expectations you have for the next season? Because it ended with a twist. It ended with John Hamm, the I was going to call him the governor. What's his title?
The Reverend.
The Reverend. Calling Kimmy and saying that he's fallen in love and wants to get married, which means they have to get a divorce.
So, I'll tie that into my verdict. Screen verdict for season 2 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Reading back through the episode, a lot of high points, a lot of really funny things. I thought Titus and Mikey's relationship was great. I think Kimmy and Dong are great. I thought something else that I was going to say and then forgot. But overall, the show is just really, really funny, and there's a lot of really likable characters in it. The thing is, I feel like this show is made almost with no filter. It's like, imagine if you're a writer on 30 Rock, right? It's got like a 30 Rock-ish style sense of humor. But imagine you write some stuff down, and then there's no NBC showrunner, no corporate schmo to say, no, this is too zany, no, like, get back on track with the storyline, like, tighten this up into your 22-minute episode that we pay you to write. And I sort of, you know, I want the freedom and stuff to be a good thing, but I also think there's, like, no accountability. Like, they kind of just throw stuff at a wall, and then they don't stick with the bullseyes. They just go with everything that they threw at the wall.
Yeah.
So, a lot of really, really funny moments, but, a bunch of stuff that just kind of landed flat for me. So, overall, I enjoyed the season. The big twist at the end wasn't that much of a twist. I thought, okay, well, that's not good. I mean, John Hamm's kind of funny. We'll see. He maybe has some stuff to do next season, but it didn't make me think, oh, man, I can't believe I've got to wait for season 3. So, overall, I enjoyed it. Maybe half a step down from season 1. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. My thoughts on Kimmy Schmidt, or the UKS. No, that doesn't really work.
That's what I titled it. I have saved this podcast as UKS2.
Yeah. So, I think, I love this show. I don't quite agree with you about the, like, there's no filter or there's no, like, you know, that's too crazy, we can't do that sort of coming through. But I do think, like, 30 Rock had a good environment through which to package their storytelling. And I think because Kimmy Schmidt's just about a girl and, like, her friends in New York, that they don't have that sort of, like, structure or that, like, the world can sometimes get a bit, like, less defined, which might make it a bit less sort of contain the show maybe in some ways that's unhelpful. But I think what I love about this show is that it's a pure comedy show, and some of the jokes and some of the lines, it's like a laugh factory. And they're just churning out these great lines, these great jokes, these great quips that you just don't get in a lot of shows now. And I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV. And I really like the lead character, Kimmy. I think she's a really, like, lovable, like, endearing, funny character that, like, I really love all those things about the show. But it's not my favourite show. It's one of the funniest shows on TV, but there is something missing there. Just, like, I think sometimes it is a bit hit and miss. I guess, like, maybe those sketch show, like, sensibilities coming through there. Sometimes they probably do go a little bit too far. Like, I really liked that Jeff Goldblum's show was just, like, sort of as crazy as possible. But I would have maybe, preferred a more, like, it's also my favourite way they could have done that ever on any show. So anyway, there's some really great lines. Like, I love the line in the first season where the train conductor says, "You think we're a train company? We run late on purpose so people can find each other in romantical fashion." Like, I just started, like, little observations like that, I think, really good. I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Well, very good. I think we pulled off a little bit more than we could chew with the 1 minute per episode goal, but we aim high here at Screen Verdict. You don't want to listen to a podcast with mediocre ambitions. You want a podcast that promises unrealistic expectations and then half delivers. On them.
Well, I do, halfway through, I think It's Always Sunny, we did 2 minutes an episode.
Yeah, we definitely did, but look, it's 8, The Bachelorette's starting, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, we didn't have The Bachelorette after the It's Always Sunny podcast. Can I just do a quick bit of housekeeping? I just want to propose something to you.
Okay.
Is that okay? Can The Bachelor wait 2 minutes?
As long as you're not proposing to me, this isn't The Bachelor.
No, it's not. The proposal is, there's been this app that's blowing up the past week.
Pokemon Go.
Are you on it?
No, but it's all I've seen on Facebook the last 3 days.
I thought we should both get it for a week and see who catches the most Pokemon or gets the most points or something.
Oh, okay, I'm down.
You're down? I don't know if we started now because you're going to Vanuatu this week. I'm not sure exactly how
they should have some crazy Pokemon in Vanuatu.
So you're going to look for Pokemon in LA and Vanuatu, and I've got Sydney. That could be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on board. Maybe after The Bachelor we can Facebook message and iron out the details.
Yes. But there will be some sort of Screen Verdict Pokemon Go challenge. Yep. In the near future.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Okay, great. Right,
cool.
Sounds good. Maybe, yeah. That sounds good to me.
So,
that's it.
Enjoyed the podcast.
I will. Oh, sorry. That wasn't to me.
I hope Matt enjoys the podcast when he re-listens to this later on. Just as I hope you enjoy it, listening it to the first time.
Yeah, I hope the listeners enjoy it as well.
And we'll catch you for another podcast next week.
Catch you next week.